Exodus chapter 18. I'll have you stand in just a moment, not yet. And we'll read there, and then we'll also go about looking at a few other portions of Scripture and reading them together. Exodus chapter 18. Well, before we get into the Bible, this is one of the funniest things I've read in a long time, so I'm going to share it with you. How many of you like to grill out? Guys, you like to grill out? It's grilling out time of year, amen. We're about to enter summer in the grill out season. Therefore, it is important to refresh your memory on the etiquette of this sublime outdoor cooking activity, as it's the only type of cooking a real man will do. Probably because there's an element of danger involved. Now, here it goes. When a man volunteers to grill out, the following chain of events are put into motion. Number one, the woman buys the food. Number two, the woman makes the salad, prepares the vegetable, and makes dessert. Number three, the woman prepares the meat for cooking, places it on a tray along with the necessary cooking utensils and sauces, takes it to the man who is lounging beside the grill with an iced tea in his hand. Here comes the important part. Number four, the man places the meat on the grill. Number five, the woman goes inside to organize plates and cutlery. Number six, the woman comes out to tell the man the meat is burning. He thanks her and asks her if she'll bring him another iced tea while he deals with the situation. Number seven, very important again. The man takes the meat off the grill and hands it to the woman. Number eight, the woman prepares the plates, salads, bread, utensils, napkins, sauces, and brings them to the table. Number nine, after eating, the woman clears the table and does the dishes. Number ten, everybody praises and thanks the man for his cooking efforts. Number 11, the man asks the woman how she enjoyed her night off. And upon seeing her annoyed reaction, concludes that there's just no pleasing some women. Yeah. Ouch. A little too close to the truth there, amen. All right. Exodus chapter 18. Let's look at verse number 1. Let's all stand, please. Exodus 18, verse number 1. I'm going to go through and teach tonight on some things. As a matter of fact, I touched briefly on these things, some of these, when I was teaching through Philippians and told you that this summer we were going to do some more teaching. Exodus chapter 18, verse 1. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back. And he is introduced in this story. I'm reading just these verses to give you an introduction to who this man is. Now let's go, if you will, in verse number 12. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering sacrifices for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sent to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning until even?" And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of the Lord. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. That will surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. And be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt shew them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of ten. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. And if thou shalt do this thing, the Lord and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens, and they judged the people at all seasons. And hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. Moses let his father-in-law depart. If you will, while we're standing, let's go to Numbers chapter number 11, but mark that portion of Scripture. We'll revisit that. Numbers chapter 11. You'll check the corresponding dates. These fall into the same time period, within a year of each other, the events of what we just read in Numbers chapter number 11. And so, if you will, let's look at verse 10. And then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, everyone in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. And Moses also was displeased. And Moses said to the Lord, "Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say to me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child into the land which thou swearest unto thy fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not alone." Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible that we've read. Thank you for what we have seen. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to get a sense, Lord, of some of the necessities, Lord, that I think comes along with the church growing and going forward. Help us, Lord, to rise to the great challenge before us. Lord, I pray for increased blessing. I pray, Lord, that you would please use Blessed Hope Baptist Church to the fullest capacity. Help us to be blessable. Help us to be usable. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we see important things, Lord, in the years ahead. And Lord, I just would ask for your help, Lord, as I teach tonight. And Lord, that we would glean what we ought to from these scriptures. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. While you're sitting down, I'm going to read to you a New Testament account that I think you'll draw a connection to, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about these verses and present some concepts that I hope will begin to lay some groundwork for helping us as a church to be able to grow and go forward properly and biblically and scripturally, and to keep hitting on all cylinders while God continues to bless. Acts chapter number 6, in verse 1, it says, "And in those days when the number of the multitudes were multiplied, the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer, to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient." And I read the last two verses because that's what I think is so important about this. When they begin to bog down, they enlisted the help of godly men, and because of that, they then were able to go forward again and multiply. They were going forward, multiplying. Things were happening. Then they began to bog down. You know, folks, that growth brings with it increased problems. It just does. Growth is a good thing. Growth's an exciting thing, but it brings with it increased problems and increased responsibilities and increased work. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this. And again, we're spending Wednesday nights to try to do some training, and I think we're laying some things out. I think if you take the last 8 or 10 Wednesday night services, and you just, if you had the time, or if you do some driving and commuting, and if you just listen to one right after another, I think that you would realize maybe a little bit of what I'm doing. I want to try to take this summer, we did this in late spring and summer, and to try to do some training and to prepare us for what I believe the Lord is going to do in the next year. Listen, folks, we've kind of had to just, you know, do the best we can, and we're going to do that in 07. We're going to do the best we can. But this is one of those times where we kind of just got to slow down and divide our energies. We're building a physical building. We're trying to keep the ministries going as strong as possible. And yet everybody still has everything in your life. I mean, life doesn't necessarily go on hold just because things are increased. But I really believe this. I think if we, you know, that verse, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Amen. If we gut this out and do it, I can tell you that I believe with all my heart that God is both physically and spiritually laying the groundwork for the church to be able then to go in many ways to an increased level of effectiveness. And I look forward to that. To me, that's very, very exciting. And I want Blessed Hope Baptist Church to grow. I like y'all, I do, but I'd like to have a bunch more like you. Amen. And I think that ought to be the heartbeat of every church member. Be careful about just getting satisfied. Be careful about saying, oh, we got a nice group. Well, we do. Praise God. God's been good to Blessed Hope Baptist. Good night. He's been good to us. He's given us a wonderful group of people here. But folks, there's still untold multitudes out there and unreached multitudes that need help, and they need the type of church home and church family that Blessed Hope Baptist Church can provide them. They really do. They need to be somewhere sitting in a pew where they're hearing not a bunch of a googly gosh or whatever somebody read out of his denominational magazine the Sunday night before he went to bed on Sunday morning, but something from the Word of God. Their children need to get under old-time religion. Amen. And so we're praying and working towards that end. Now, what I want to do is, as we're laying the physical foundation and all of that, for the next phase of what I believe will be the next phase of growth, I want to lay a spiritual foundation. That's what we're doing this Wednesday. So on Wednesday night, so I'm teaching this week on the importance of biblical delegation. The importance of biblical delegation. Delegation is an important word in God's work. It really is. It's not a Bible word. You're not going to find it in your concordance, but I think that it encompasses what we have read about in these three stories. And it's important in the family. In the development of your children, delegation is important in your own personal family and the development of your children. Wouldn't you agree with that, parents? You know, as they're able to, according to their abilities and their age, more and more ought to be delegated to your children because, first of all, and most important, it is for their own development. It helps them to grow. It helps them to develop character. It helps them to understand responsibilities and the consequences of not following full responsibilities or the rewards of following through with proper responsibilities. It helps them develop in all areas of their life. And it allows them to taste success and to learn from failure. And so a parent who just won't, you know, oh, well, I'll do it, and I can do it faster myself, and no, kids, just, and don't do that. Don't do that for 18 years. They need to get hands-on. Listen, when they're able to stand, mamas, just get you a chair, park it right there by the dish. Does anybody do dishes anymore? by the sink, or by the dishwasher, and hand them the plate, and let them put them in, whatever y'all do now, and get them involved. Get them involved, you see. And delegation's an important thing. It's an important responsibility in business. It's really a solid biblical, I think, principle that serves as its major purpose the development of those that are coming up through the ranks. And if you fail to delegate and give responsibilities, you're failing to develop and I think help people reach their full potential. Now, let me just give you several Bible principles that I think will be a blessing and help to you. And we're going to spend most of our time in Exodus. I jumped ahead and read in Numbers because I'll just say this. I've heard this taught different ways. I know that Jethro was perhaps not... I'm going to bring something to your attention. I think you'll be interested in about Jethro. But I've heard people say that because Jethro didn't have a strong background as far as the Israelites and what God had laid the foundation here, that this was a human advice. This was humanistic advice and not really from the Lord. I will say this, that Jethro in verse 23 said this, "If thou shalt do this thing and God command thee so, then shalt thou be able to endure." And Jethro, of course, gave God veto power even in the counsel that he gave. I read Numbers chapter 11 because whether or not Moses, by the way, did implement this, but let me say that God also did a very similar thing and it was God's command and God's idea to bring the 70 men in Numbers chapter 11 and to see and understand that his servant was reaching overload capacity. Now, I mean, folks, there's things you got to watch for, but when you've got a spiritual leader who's saying, "Kill me, just kill me, you know, take me home, I'm ready to die," and, you know, he's looking at, you know, longingly at the edge of a cliff, you probably ought to get that guy some help. And I think God just said, "You know what? This is a human." And folks, the greatest of all leaders, when it boils down to it, they're just human beings. And the capacity for leadership may be greater in some than others, but every one of us are limited in what we can do, and we reach a saturation point, and God understands this, and that's why you have to understand the importance of biblical delegation. I think that as I've talked to pastors, and I've especially counseled with three pastors specifically over the last year, that is running where I hope to one day run. And not that, folks, it's just numbers, but they have taken a church and they've taken it on to the next level so that they have a greater capacity to reach and influence their community for Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm interested in. You know, I mean, you can hang that. I didn't put that board back there. It reappeared after we remodeled. Whoever did, I'm fine with it. But I don't care if you post the attendance or not. All I want to do is reach people, you know. I mean, really, I want to reach people. I think it's an encouragement. I don't mind having it back there. But some Sundays it's very encouraging. Some Sundays I wish I didn't look at it. But that's not what it's about. It's not about so we can go out and tell somebody a number. It's about reaching people for Jesus Christ. That's what we've got to keep in mind. And we see here in Exodus that as the multitude continued to grow and increase and the problems increased, that Moses needed some help. We see in Numbers chapter 11 that the people got to the point where it was just more than he can handle. And God understood that, and he called out 70 men and took some of the spirit that was upon Moses and dispersed it amongst those men and gave him, if you'll let me say this, you know, some of the people that would come alongside him, some men that would come alongside and help him to bear the burden of leadership. These are biblical things. And the apostles, as the church explodes there in Jerusalem, and with that, every time you get you say, "Oh, we need new families," what you're really saying is we need new problems. And I'm glad, because I want new families, but with every family and every person, there's some problems involved there. There's some challenges. There's a growth curve there on. There's heartaches they're going to go through. There's family members that are going to be sick. Everything increases. For every number you see increase, folks, there's several other numbers going up that we'll never do. And that's just part of the ministry. That's fine. But we have to be aware, folks, as I think Blessed Hope Baptist Church has to say, are we willing to lay the foundation so that we can grow in the future? Are we willing, if necessary, even to change somewhat selfish mindsets in order to grow in the future? Because it will take a certain amount of spiritual maturity from this core Wednesday night crowd to support church growth from this point on. You have to be part of the underpinnings, you know, because there has to be that core group that kind of just lays the foundation and helps and supports and allows a ministry to continue forward. And because of that, we have to have, a spiritual understanding and a spiritual outlook on biblical delegation. Now, let me just first of all present you, I'm going to present several points here. But number one, a church, let me just give you this, and I'm just going to throw myself on the mercy of the church, okay? So, you know, you can kill me if you want, but let me just say it anyway. A church must guard against its pastors reaching spiritual, physical, or mental overload. And I think the church has to guard against that. It's interesting. What I thought was fascinating when I reread this afternoon, and I hadn't seen it till this afternoon, the Lord will give you something fresh sometimes, even though I've studied this out, is that it occurred to me, because I was putting Jethro a little bit under the microscope, saying, you know, well, first of all, this was a family member, and secondly, he was an outsider. And, you know, sometimes an outsider can come in and with fresh eyes look and see what nobody else can seem to see that's happening right in front of everybody. You know, there's some advantages to me of having older men of God come through this place from time to time. There's some real advantages, because sometimes when I prompt them, they will point something out that I can't see. I thought, how can you see that being here one week and I'm here every week and I didn't see that? Maybe it's something personally in my life. Maybe it's something in my family dynamics. Maybe it is something within the church. But I like the fact that this man came in. And by the way, he came in respectfully. He came in lovingly. He came in, and if we read the whole portion of Scripture, he was blown away. He made a statement that the God of Moses was the God above all gods. I mean, he had dire respect for what was happening here in Israel. This isn't some pagan, worldly God hater, okay? And whether he was saved or not, I don't know. I guess I'll look around heaven, scour heaven, and see whether he was. But he gave, I think, some sage advice here, and he did it from an outside perspective. He wanted Moses to make these adjustments for two reasons, and we see those in verse number 18, if you'll let me read that. He says this, he said, "Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it for it thyself alone." Then if you'll notice also in verse 23, he says this, "If thou shalt do this, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace." And even though he had a personal concern, that comes through very strong in the Scripture for Moses, he was also saying, you know, Moses, not only is this killing you, wearing you down, wearing you out, but there's a lot of people that's been standing for a long time, and guess what? They could be at home, and they aren't getting their needs met in a timely fashion either. And so, folks, sometimes if we're not careful, delegation comes across as a selfish thing, and I don't think it ever ought to be a selfish thing. I don't think anybody ought to delegate anything to somebody else just because they don't want to do it, or they're too lazy to do it, or it's just easier to make somebody else do it. It ought to all be in the framework of being able to streamline and stay on message and on course for what you need to do in your position, and also to give those underneath you a chance to develop spiritually and to develop in leadership. And anybody, I see Bobby nodding his head out there. It doesn't matter where you're at. You can be a carpet later training a guy, and that helper may spend all day thinking, well, I don't know why he gives me all this stuff. He just wants to. No, he is using you, and he should use you, but also he's helping to develop, if you'll pay attention, skills that one day could serve you very, very well and could help you to make a very good living. So it's a two-way street there, you see. And it happens in all areas. Now, this overload was noticed by an outsider. This overload was hurting Moses, and it was hurting the people as far as getting their needs met. Number two, let me say this. The pastor's main responsibility. I love verse 19. I want you to look hard at verse 19, because I believe this. I think the pastor's main responsibility is to be for the people Godward. I love that statement. I love that statement. I love that statement. Look, if you will, in verse number 19. "Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God." See, if you think about this, if what Jethro said here and what he witnessed is accurately described in Scriptures, and we have to assume it is, he said from morning till evening this is going on. From morning and evening, there he's occupied to the people, not towards God, just towards the people. Let me ask you something. When is he having time to study the Bible, the Old Testament law? Let me ask you something. When's he having time to pray? Let me ask you something. When's he spending time walking with God? You know what? Jethro said, this isn't going to work very long. I mean, folks, listen to me. You know, when Jesus was feeding the 5,000, the disciples came and got some bread, and they went out and gave it to the multitude. But you know what? They had to go back to Jesus and get more bread. And they had to get out to come back to Jesus and get more bread and fish. And they had to come to Jesus and get more bread and fish. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we've overloaded the situation where all we are is out amongst the multitude. And guess what? We're passing out stuff, but it's no longer bread and fish because we haven't been back to get any bread and fish. And so a pastor's main responsibility is to be for the people Godward. Brother Jerry, you're hard to get to. Brother Jerry, I wish I could spend a little more time with you. I am doing you more of a favor by sometimes being hard to get to because I'm being to God for you than I would be with you. That's the honest truth. That's the honest truth. And I wrestle with this. I think if Dad would testify, he'd probably tell me, I don't know, that this is a challenge. It's hard to keep this balance. I've talked to other preachers. It's hard to find the balance all the time. But folks, listen to me. There has to be time. That's why I read that portion of the book of Acts. You know what the apostles were saying? They were saying, we need to be for the people Godward. For the people Godward. That's why they said we're going to give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Why? Because we got to be for the people Godward. Now, folks, that's something I've got to watch, and I've got to have your patience with me. And you've got to understand that. Guess what? Every time the cell phone rings, I can't answer it. Well, Brother Jerry, I needed something. Well, was it important enough to interrupt me and God? I mean, if I was talking to you, are you like this? When you're talking to somebody on the phone, I hate call waiting. I hate it. Amen. You've been in a conversation. I was talking to one guy, and three times in 10 minutes, he said, wait a minute, I got another call coming in. And put me on hold. I want to reach to there and just... Say, why didn't it happen four times? Because I wasn't there after the third time. You know, folks, technology doesn't give you a pass to be rude. That was free. I've been in my office giving counsel and explaining something to somebody, and their phone ring, and they have to take the phone call. You know what those are? You know what I'm going to say. Those are adult pacifiers. That's what those are. Okay, we need to get back to the Bible, amen? Now, isn't that interesting? I called Brother Holloway, this has been years ago, tried to get him. Needed to talk to him about something. His secretary said, well, Jerry, he's not available right now. I said, you know when he'll be available? She said, yeah, 1 o'clock. And I said, is he in a meeting? She said, well, from 12 to 1 every day. He doesn't take any calls. He doesn't let anybody disturb him. He said, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray. And he's taking that time. That's his 1 hour where nobody gets through. He said, now if somebody dies or if there's a, then I'm allowed to beep him. You know, if you were in my office and I was... talking to you and somebody else called and I just ignored you and started talking to them, wouldn't you think that was rude? And you want me to do that to God? Amen. What I'm saying, folks, is this. Your preacher's doing you a favor when he's Godward for you. I mean, you know what? We spent some money on some technology. I got a wonderful little thing called voicemail. And you know what? There's sometimes I just need to be with this book. And if we don't happen to have a secretary in there, you may have to talk to a machine. So I don't like talking to a machine. I'm sorry. But I need to talk to God sometimes. I need to study the scriptures. You know why? Because on Sunday morning, let me get to this next point. I love verse number 20 also. Isn't it interesting what it says here? The pastor's pulpit ministry allows him to help individuals in groups. Now, listen to what I'm going to have to say here, because I think it's important, and I hope, again, you'll strike a balance with me here. I'm always afraid to teach the Bible, because some of you have such a knee-jerk reaction to it. Yeah. I try to encourage you to pray and you to actually have your own prayer list by yourselves. And some of you are still offended by that. Get over it. Read the Bible. You'll figure out that you're supposed to have a closet prayer list. Amen. Not every little prayer request you have needs to be on my prayer list. I'm just going to keep saying it. You know what? There's united prayer, and there's specific things that ought to be prayed for in a united forum. And there's private prayer requests. And how are you going to ever figure out whether God's answering your questions or not? I mean, it's true. This is another thing that sometimes offends people, but it's true. Moreover, thou, look at verse 20, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and work that they must do. Well, how's he going to have the time to do that? He's going to have time away where he's not there 24 hours a day face to face with somebody. He's going to have time to study, and here he's going to, as a group, teach them the words of God. Let me help you with something. And I'm not against counsel. I know pastors that won't counsel. You know what they say? They say, yeah, I counsel four times a week, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know what? If they make that choice, I can't point my finger at a verse that says that they're doing wrong. And I understand why some of them go to that. I really do. But I also understand that real people have real problems. And I'll tell you this, folks. The amount of counseling that has to be done in 2007 compared to 50 years ago or 40 years ago or 30 years ago because of the complexity and the degradation of the society is just absolutely mind-boggling. But at the same time, let me just give you this thought. And I don't want you to not call. And if you need to see me, I'll set an appointment up with you. And I can't always see you right after the service. I'm sorry, I just can't. But let me say this. If you'll come to Sunday school, and you'll come to Sunday morning, and you'll come to Sunday night, and you'll come to Wednesday night, and you'll listen, I mean listen to what I teach, and listen to what comes from this pulpit, you're not going to. If you'll just do that consistently, faithfully, there's not too many questions that you're going to have that's not going to be answered in the course of the regular teaching and preaching of God's Word. Amen. And I hear a while back, a lady, she's sitting back on the back row tonight. She said to me, I need to see you. She called ahead and said, is there any way I could see you after one of the services? And I said, yeah, we'll get together and we'll do that. And she started to walk out the back door. And I said, you still need to see me? And she said, nope, you answered my questions tonight. And she went on right out to the door and went to her car. I said, amen. Amen. You know. Now, that isn't always going to happen where that particular night. But I'm just saying that, listen, you know how many times I set up an appointment to see Brother Hiles when I was a church member for almost 8 years at First Baptist Church? Once. But I listened in every service, and I read everything he wrote. And you know what? There wasn't too many questions that if I had, didn't get answered through those vehicles. Now, there's personal crisis. There's this emergency needs. Remember, they even made allocation for this. They said here in the portion of Scripture, in the delegating process, it says in verse 22, and let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. It talks about the great matter or the hard causes. You see, in verse number 26, and they judged the people at all seasons, the hard causes they brought into Moses. And I think a preacher, listen, you can't get so regimented. You can't become so scheduled. You can't become so aloof. People are going to have crisis. People's going to have needs. And folks, you call me. I mean, we, as much as some nights I want to turn my phone off and I have my finger on the button, I don't. And I don't because of you. And I want you to know, you call me. If you don't have my cell phone and you're not a teenager, I'll give it to you. I mean that. Won't do you any good because after hours, I've just put it on the dresser and turn it off. But you'll have it at least, amen. Now, honestly, I want to be accessible. And if you have an emergency, I'll be there. And I want to be there. And I'll be mad if you don't call. I will. You will hear about it. But you have to understand that every time, you know, I've been wanting to ask questions. You know, I got something. It's not just one person. You're not the only one. You see, you're not the only one. You see, and there just has to be. And listen, what I'm saying is this: You say, well, Brother Jerry, I feel like you're kind of tough to get to. I'm sorry. I do apologize for that. But, you know, the honest truth is, what are you going to do when the church has run 350? What are you going to do when it runs 400? And you know what? I'm not God. I never was supposed to be. And I will promise you this. I will do you more of a long-term favor by spending time in prayer for you and for your situation and for your problems than I will 2 hours down at the coffee shop commiserating with you over them. I really will do you more good by praying for you and by studying the scriptures and helping to get biblical answers and help to preach preventative messages. And if you'll listen, you'll be surprised how much you'll get from just listening to the preaching from the pulpit, okay? The pastor's pulpit ministry allows him to help individuals. I listened to somebody, I can't remember who told me this. I wish I could. Somebody told me this in the last week or so, and it was another preacher. And he said that when Brother Robertson, or Dr. Lee Robertson was in Highland Park, that it was very difficult to get an appointment with him. And he said this. He said, what was so funny is, if you did get an appointment with him, he always told you the same five things. He'd listen to whatever problem you have, and he'd say, now let me give you five pieces of advice. Number one, read the Bible. You need to read the Bible, amen. Number two, you need to pray. Number three, three to thrive. Just come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Number four, die to self. If you'll just die to self, it'll help you so much in your life. And number five, go out and be a soul winner. Be a soul winner. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. That may sound like a cop-out, but I thought to myself, if we just all did those five things, I wonder how many of those problems that's crept into our life wouldn't have crept into our life. Amen. And I know that, like I said, society's more complex now. But at the same time, don't underestimate the pulpit ministry. Don't underestimate the pulpit ministry, all right? Number four, this is also what we see taught in Exodus chapter 18, Numbers 11, and also Acts chapter 6, is to keep a pastor from overload, able men must be discipled and trained to handle part of the load of responsibility. Must be discipled and trained to handle part of the load of the responsibility. I love that little phrase. It pops up twice here in verse number 21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. Able men. Look at verse 25. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel. And Moses looked for able men. Now, we're given a little bit of information about these men. And let me just give you a quick view of them. Number one, he chose men. Let me just say that. He chose men. Amen. I've been making anybody that's been affected, even unwittingly, by the women's lib movement very angry in the last few weeks. I think I'll just keep doing it. Amen. Somebody needs to undo 25 or 30 years of brainwashing in your little gray matter. Men lead. Men are to be leaders. I reread the verses this week when I was trying to help somebody with a situation. And the Bible absolutely forbids a woman to have a position that would usurp authority over a man in the church. Absolutely forbids it. Women, you shouldn't usurp authority at home over your husbands. You shouldn't be in a position in a church where you usurp authority over men. It's unbiblical. It's absolutely unbiblical. Unbiblical. Amen. I don't care what Gloria says. I don't care what the now crowd says. It's unbiblical. That's the Bible. You say, well, I don't understand something. Well, ask your husband at home. There's a verse on that too. I want to disciple and train men. That's my heartbeat. That's my heartbeat. I want to develop and help develop strong young men here. That's my heartbeat. Ladies, it's not that I don't love you. And it's not that I don't think you're important, and I don't think you're second-class citizens. I just am not going to... I'm not going to drink the gender blending Kool-Aid. I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid. I'm not going down that road. I believe the Bible. Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was not deceived. Certain things that happened as a result of the curse of sin, and God put men in masculine positions and women in feminine positions, and America was much better when everybody figured out where their place was. Amen, Brother Jerry, that's good. Amen. So what I'm interested in doing is following the Bible. He found able men. He chose men. Number two, he chose men of integrity. Verse 21, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place them over them to be rulers. So here's men that feared God. Here's men of truth. Here's men that hated covetousness. And by the way, this isn't perfect. Nobody's perfect. But their lifestyle was such that this was characteristic of the way they lived. You notice the list that we had, and I'm going to go back and read it. Same type of list found in Acts chapter number 6. Spirit-filled men, honest men of good report, Spirit-filled men. By the way, the Holy Spirit's presence in your life is very important as you try to develop into a leader. Taking on a leadership position and doing it in the flesh is going to cause massive problems both with you and everybody else you're trying to help. Spirit-fullness is always a prerequisite to leadership. If you're going to pastor, you better be Spirit-filled. If you're going to be a deacon, you ought to be Spirit-filled. If you're going to be a leader in a ministry, you've got to be Spirit-filled. Folks, it's not about you. You finally got a position so you can shove your weight around and have your way. That's not what this is about. It's Spirit-fullness. Notice he took 70 men and he said, I'll give you help, Moses, but I'm taking some of the Spirit. It's upon you and I'm distributing it because these men need the same Spirit of God that rested upon you. They need a portion of that if they're going to do what they have to do. Holy Spirit fullness is so important. Gentlemen, listen, that's why the Bible talks about that. Men everywhere ought to lifting up holy hands. Listen, if we don't get our spiritual lives right, we don't spend time before God and we don't stay confessed and we don't seek the fullness and power and wisdom that the Holy Spirit only can provide in our life, we're going to have a hard time leading anywhere, whether it's at home, in a marriage, in a Sunday school class, anywhere we're going to struggle. Holy Spirit fullness is so important. Verse 22, notice this, he says, and let them judge the people at all seasons. He chose faithful men. He chose men to be willing to be inconvenienced and able to, in order to help. Number four, these men need to know when to send, let me say this, these men need to know when to secure the pastor's wisdom and insight. That's why he said, you know what, in the hard cases, and what was the other phrase he used there, in the great matters, send them on up the pike. You know, folks, listen to me, I'm going to tell you this, is very, very important. Well, I served here for a number of years as an assistant pastor, and you got to understand, even when you're trying to help people and deal with people, there's some issues that come up that, you know what, that's the pastor's call, and it would be best if they talk to the pastor about that, and you really ought to make an appointment with the pastor about that. Sometimes we don't want to, our pride gets in the way, and I've got the answer, I can help them, and the honest truth is, they ought to just be referred in a lot of areas. Brother Reiser works with our teens, and he asked me, what do you want me to do as far as counseling teenagers? And I said, well, if they stop you at the back and they've just got a quick question, answer them. If they've got a biblical question, answer them. I said, if there's some real problems, send them to me. And it's not that I don't trust him. I do. But you know what? There's some things they need to see their pastor about. They just need to see their pastor about, you see. And that's important. And let me just reiterate this. I don't want anybody to leave here. Did you hear that statement? I'll make myself available. I guess sometimes I'm asking you to have some discernment. Sometimes people think every matter in their life's a great matter, and it's not. It's just not. You see. And everything, no, it's not. And yet pretty soon you're going to get to be like the little person, the little boy that called Wolf. The pastor sees your name on the ID, he's going to think, oh no. Not that I ever do that. I don't care what color car you buy. I mean, make a major decision. I mean, you know, I'll tell you what brand not to buy, but I'm not going to go there. Now, let me just say some things at the end here. I hope that this is a help to you. Like I said the other day, maybe the Lord will give me a 20-year stretch here. What do you want to see, Brother Jerry? Well, in the next 20 years, I want to invest heavily into the men of our church. Man, I think that one of the greatest services I can provide here, and then not that I'm everything, and I'm not, but as a pastor, if I can help you and develop you to be the leader of your home and to help you to develop the leader potential you have here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in the ministries, And I feel like I've done a great service to you. I'm not saying that, I'm not going to say that I've never done this, because, and I racked my brain, and I can't think of one instance where I did, but I don't want to say I never have. Most of you men know that if I want to ask your wife to do something at church, I don't call her, I call you. And I always try to ask the husband first. Listen, I've got something here, and before I ask your wife, I want to make sure if you have any objections or if there's something that you're, you know why? Because I want the leadership to come through you. I want you to talk to her about it first. I want it to come through you. I want it to be your decision. I want to give you veto power. And I want, why? Because I want to develop leaders. Amen. I want the men. Now listen, I want to exalt the men and their position in their home. I want to exalt that. I want to tear that down. I want to exalt that. And I want to help develop you into spiritual leaders. And so, number two, I will always watch for able men. I think any wise pastor does. I'll always watch for able men who exhibit spirit fullness, humility, loyalty, judgment, good judgment, truthfulness, and hate covetousness. These men are good ones to enlist to lead according to their abilities. Let me just throw a little philosophy out here that'll help you. I think we dropped the ball in some ways in the 70s and 80s. I could go into reasons why, but it doesn't matter. I think we got hire crazy. I think we got staff crazy. I think we just felt like that every time there was a need in the church, we needed to go hire somebody. And I think that sometimes you do. But I think we stopped developing lay leadership. And I think after a while, in some fundamental churches, they just kind of sat back and thought, well, if they need something, they'll hire somebody. And we're just supposed to come watch. And I don't think that was a good thing. I like lay leadership. I like men leading ministries. I like laymen leading ministries. I like laymen involved. I like that. And you know where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And I'm afraid with that, when we made those bad decisions, sometimes we lost the people's heart for the ministry, because they weren't doing the investing part of it. And so I don't know, but I think there's a balance. There's times when we need to hire some help. There's times, though, when we can look around and say, who do we have? And we can't expect them to do what somebody that would be able to do if they were paid full-time do, but they can maybe five people can take part of five areas instead of hiring one person to do five things. Does this make sense to you? And so, of course, that's up to y'all. You know, pastor's going to do that for as long as he can, and then, you know, if there's got to be a pull of willing hearts. There's got to be a pull of willing people that's willing to take those positions. Number three, I will be, and this is what I want to do for the next 20 years like I've never done, I will be Godward for you. I will be Godward for you, even if it makes you mad at me sometimes. Even if you feel neglected sometimes. Even if I can't show up to everybody's birthday party. Sorry. I'm sorry. I had our teenagers, you know, when I had the youth group, and it was up about, we were running in the 40, middle 40s or something like that, and one of the kids invited me to their birthday party, and I said, I won't go. And they said, well, why not? You know, they made up an invitation. It was real nice and had my name on it. I mean, it was nice. And I like cake. I like ice cream. And parents, don't get mad at me if I don't come to the party. But you see, that's your kid, and that's one party. But if there's 45 teenagers and there's 52 weeks, that's a lot of birthday parties. See, you only have to go once because you're family. You got to have a little perspective. Every once in a while, you need to step back and get a little perspective of what you're expecting. Hey, why don't you lower some of them unreasonable expectations, okay? I just can't be everywhere. I can't do everything. But I want to be there during the hard thing. I want to be there if you got a crisis. I want to be there. I want to be a help to you. But folks, I also want to be in there praying for you. I also want to be in there having the time to study, to teach you, and to preach to you, and to help you, and to feed you, and to help your children, and develop your children, give them the Word of God, so that we keep things going the right way here. You see, so I will be Godward for the people. I'm going to keep that as a priority. Boy, it's a struggle. I fight my schedule all the time, and I have to go back and reclaim every once in a while, and it's amazing how many incidentals will creep into your Bible time, creep into your prayer time. Does that happen to you personally as a Christian? Well, yeah, it does, doesn't it? So we're all under that attack, aren't we? So listen, you be Godward for me and I'll be God for you. How about that? Amen. Number five, I will major on prayer and the ministry of the word. That's what I'm going to major on. And I think that that's the most important thing as a pastor. And even my assistant, I need him to help around here in such a way so that he can let his preacher have as his major concerns the prayer and the ministry of the word. I need ministry leaders. Listen, folks, here's a little phrase you ought to stick in the back of your mind. See the need, take the lead. And folks, if it's not changing the ministry or changing the philosophy, I mean, you know, make a decision. Sometimes you just got to make decisions. And if it's the wrong one, I may come to you and say, hey, you know, I've seen you done this, and you may not understand why, or maybe I'll explain to you real quick why, but let's do that a different way. But I'm never going to ball somebody out for just, you know what, there's certain areas that you have, and you just got to make certain decisions in those areas. Now, let me tell you how you can stay out of trouble. Learn your preacher. Honestly, learn your preacher. The more that you listen, the more that you understand, the more that you gain the heart and the direction of the ministry, the more times you're going to be right. Now, I'm not talking about making wholesale changes. I'm not talking about making major changes. I'm not talking about enlisting help without checking. I'm not talking about the major things. I'm just talking in the course of things. You know, you ought to be able to go on a youth activity, and I shouldn't get 15 calls during the night. Well, we bowled two games. Do you think we ought to bowl three, or should we? I don't care. I'm trying to watch American Idol. I don't care. I mean, I'm being Godward for you. Let me give you number six. Please attend all of the services. Listen carefully to the preaching and teaching of God's word. Folks, it's not because I'm anything, but I promise you, this book, if it's preached consistently and regularly, and it's well studied out, it will help you. And more times than not, whatever needs you have over the course of time, your questions will be answered. You'll be helped. So listen to it. Don't be just a hearer, but be a doer. Number seven, be willing to follow assigned leadership positions. Now, this is a big thing, and this is where we're going to end tonight. But as the church grows, and as even now we, you know, delegate certain responsibilities, you know, now we just made a change here. Brother Reiser was out there leading children's church, and he brought along Michael, and we got him approved, and we started training him, and we got him to the point where he could do that. Now, wait a minute. Who helps in children's church? Are you helping in children's church? Okay, he's helping this summer in children's church. Chad is. So all of a sudden, the first Sunday that Brother Reiser's not there and Michael's up there, all of a sudden Chad's at the back going, I'll tell you what. Brother Reiser, I don't mind. I didn't mind following him, but no one checked with me. And, you know, who's this guy? And, you know, and I don't know if I want to be in this ministry anymore. And I can't believe, you know, grow up. Trust me, it was a good change. You got a good deal. No, but really, I mean, you'd be surprised how much silliness and pettiness and, well, if this person does it, I'll do it. And if I don't like this certain person, you know, get over it. Get over it. Good night, you know. And, you know, I probably, folks, honestly, I'm not foolproof, but I probably got a lot better perspective than you do of the whole situation. I probably know a little bit more about who needs to go where. I may have absolutely definite, super important reasons that I can never explain to you. Okay? So just take a breath. Take a breath. Brother just made a switch here. Brother Poet moved away and just plugged Brother Tim in. And all of a sudden I got a Sunday school. Well, I'm not going to teach Sunday school if he's a super. You know, get out of here. I've had four tell me that. And I'm just trying to... trying to diffuse that situation right now. You know, I'm trying to help you, brother. That's, you figured there'd be more than four. Hey, amen. I'm awfully proud of this church. You had an incredible, incredible pastor for a lot of years, sitting right over there. Sunday night after we made the change, I didn't know if anybody of y'all come back, and if you didn't, I wouldn't have blamed you. But I think one of the strengths of this church is that, you know what? Changes are a part of God's will and God's plan. From time to time, there's just going to be a change. And folks, you can't be personality driven. You can't be one of those, well, I'm of Cephas, but I'm not of Paul. I'm of Paul, but I'm not of Cephas. The Bible says, that whole chapter, read it. He nails them for their carnality. You can't be personality driven. And, you know, if Brother Pastor Jerry takes somebody from this position, moves them over to this position, moves someone else in this position, it's going to affect people. But you, that's what I'm saying. This group right here has to be the underpinning. We have to, if in this room we do not have the spiritual maturity to handle these changes, if we haven't got past the sins of envy and jealousy, which always lead to strife, then, you know, we're gonna fight so many internal problems all the time that we can't focus on doing what we're supposed to do here, and that's reach this community for Jesus Christ. And you know what? Maybe the new guy's not going to do as good as the old guy. But you know what? If you'd have been there when the old guy was the new guy, you'd figured out he didn't do as well at first either. Why don't you cut some of these folks some slack around here? They're growing. They're developing. This is what it is. All of this is discipleship. You know what? Sometimes I put someone into a position not because they maybe are perfectly, they're not going to do a home run job, but they've got the essential elements and they will grow with the job and they'll develop and they will, if somebody doesn't walk around with a chainsaw cutting their legs out from underneath them, help them out. Be an encouragement to them. Just walk up the first day and say, hey, I wanted to tell you something ever since I heard about it. I've been praying for you and I'm right over here, and if you need anything or you want anything different, just let us know, and man, we're for you. I want you to know I'm behind you. That's the spirit. That's the spirit of unity that the Holy Spirit's trying to develop in the Church of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, folks, there's changes. There'll be changes this year in school staff. We had, you know, the good news, Jenny Reiser became a mom, and we're always going to have, this is going to be a fluid thing. And you need to just decide to stop redeciding whether you're here based on every change that's made. You know, if the preacher does what I think he should this week, then we'll sign up for one more week subscription to the membership of Blessed Hope Baptist. Get past that. Get past that. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. You know, I mean, that's a little unfair. If the shoe was on the other foot, you would think that was unfair. So let's just all keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's all keep a heart for God. Let's just all keep a tender spot for lost souls. And let's just throw ourselves into whatever ministry we're involved in, whether it's fellowship capacity, leadership capacity. Let's just say, hey, you know what? It don't matter. Let's just do it for the glory of God. Amen. Yeah. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless the time we've got to teach tonight. Lord, that you'll take these principles, concepts, and help us. Lord, we want to be a church that's in the, not just the soul winning business, but the discipling business. The Great Commission goes beyond the first two steps. And Lord, we need to be in the process of discipling those that have been saved, getting even the newest of Christians as they develop and grow opportunities to serve, opportunities to be involved. And Lord, of course, according to their abilities, according to their growth. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help this be a place not where people just come to get saved, but where they come to be developed and to grow and to be discipled and become all that they could become, reach their maximum potential for Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for wisdom. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help me. Help me even in the daily duties and the decision-making processes and the carrying out of the time. Lord, I want to be a redeemer of the time. I don't want to stand before you, Lord, and not have done it to the best of my ability. And I pray, Lord, for each and every one that serves here. Be with them, God. Give them Holy Spirit fullness and godly wisdom and a humility of heart and a willingness to get along and just a willingness to love each other and pray for each other. Help us as we go forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.